Sales pitch. Commuter ships passed Ed Morris as he flew back to Earth from Jupiter. It had been a long, hard day at the office. The space route was full of tired-looking businessmen making their two-hour trip back to Earth. Every few million miles, the traffic stopped as commuters from Mars and Saturn joined the line of ships.
"I'm too old for this," muttered Morris.
He switched onto autopilot and picked up a cigarette. His hand shook, his head hurt.
"Sally will be angry," he thought. "Our dinner will probably be burned by now."
The commute home was always terrible. Awful traffic jams, angry drivers, constant beeping of horns. The worst thing was the adverts. He could live with everything else if it weren't for the adverts. And on Earth, there were all the sales robots. They were everywhere you looked. Morris slowed down to avoid a 50-ship collision. There was debris everywhere. He flew into a different lane to avoid the police rockets and continued. The other drivers beeped, but he ignored them.
"Intergalactic Products wishes you a nice day,"
a massive voice shouted in his ear. Morris groaned.
"Are you tense from your long day at work? Then you need a cheery personality implant."
Morris pushed his foot down on the accelerator. The advert faded behind him, but another advert was right ahead.
"Drivers, think about the thousands of unnecessary deaths every year from interplanetary driving. Buy a hypnotic motor control and save your life today."
Morris tried to close his eyes, but the next advert was on its way.
"Hey, you!"
a voice shouted into the ears and eyes of 1,000 commuters.
"Long-range thought wave scanner on special today. Know what your friends really think about you. Learn about your boss's private life."
Morris couldn't take any more. He accelerated to the maximum speed, and his little ship roared through space. An image was now in front of him. It was an enormous woman with blonde hair and blue eyes. The voice faded as his ship passed the sign. All around him he could hear the echoes of old adverts left behind in space. Morris tried to steer his ship to avoid them, but they kept coming. Earth lay ahead of him.
"Soon I'll be home," he thought.
He was trembling with tiredness and despair. He dropped the ship through the sky and flew into the Chicago commute field.
"The best metabolism improver in the market," screamed a sales robot. "Money refunded if you're not satisfied."
Morris pushed past the sales robot and walked quickly down the road. The robot followed him for a few seconds and then ran after another commuter.
"Learn the latest news every 5 minutes,"
came a metallic voice.
"Have a vid screen installed in your eye. Keep in touch with the world."
"Get out of my way," muttered Morris. The robot moved aside. Morris crossed the street, which was full of tired men and women. Sales robots were everywhere, desperately asking people to buy products. One robot began to follow him. It didn't stop until Morris picked up a rock and threw it. Then he ran inside his house and locked the door after him.
"Darling," cried Sally, drying her hands on her plastic shorts. "Oh dear, you look so tired."
Morris took off his hat and coat and kissed his wife.
"What's for dinner?"
"We're having Uranian wild duck, your favourite."
Morris's mouth watered.
"What's the occasion?"
His wife looked at him in surprise.
"Darling, It's your birthday. You're 37 today. Did you forget?
Yes, smiled Morris. He looked into the kitchen and saw the table. Coffee was steaming. There was butter and white bread, mashed potatoes and peas.
Sally pushed the oven buttons. The duck was delivered, already cut, onto the table. They sat down and started to eat.
Sally, said Morris when he finished his dinner, I can't continue like this.
I understand, Ed. 2 hours is a long time to commute. Maybe you could get a job on Mars if you went to talk to the employment agency.
It's not the drive, Sally, it's them. They're everywhere. They're waiting for me day and night, said Morris.
Who, dear?
Asked Sally, puzzled. The sales robots and the adverts. They're everywhere. They follow you until you die. We've got to escape.
Escape? But what do you mean? Where would we go?
Morris put his hand in his pocket and pulled out a tiny piece of metal foil. He put it on the table and said, Look at this, Sally. Someone gave it to me at the office.
But what does it mean? Asked Sally as she tried to read it. Proxima? What's that?
It's a new world, out in another galaxy. There are 20 planets there with only a few thousand people. There's plenty of land.
But, darling, it's so underdeveloped out there. They say it's like living back in the 20th century. I hear they have cars, baths and flush toilets.
That's right, said Morris. It's 100 years behind. We won't have any of this. He pointed to the sophisticated machinery in his house. We'll have to become accustomed to a simpler way of life, the life our great-grandparents lived. No adverts, no sales robots, traffic moving at 80 kilometers per hour instead of 80 million kilometers per hour. I could sell my commuting ship.
There was a long pause. Ed, dear, let's think about this seriously, said Sally. I mean, what about your job? What would you do out there? You really should think carefully before you throw everything away.
She was annoyed now.
If we don't go, said Morris, his voice trembling, they'll get us. There isn't much time left. I don't think I can fight them off for much longer.
Oh, honestly, Ed, said Sally. Stop it. If you feel that bad, why don't you take a holiday? Hey, I know what.
She jumped up excitedly.
Let's go out tonight and celebrate your birthday. I'll put on my new plastic dress. I bought one of the prettiest models. Do you know the dress I'm talking about, Ed?
Yes, said Morris. I've seen them advertised. He got up and walked to the bedroom. He turned and opened his mouth to speak. He was going to ask her again if she would go to Proxima with him. But he didn't have a chance. The doorbell rang.
Someone's at the door, Sally cried excitedly. Go and see who it is, darling.
Morris opened the door. In the night darkness, the robot was a tall, silent shape. Cold wind blew into the house. Morris shivered and moved back.
What do you want? He demanded. What is it?
It was the biggest robot he had ever seen. It had heavy metallic arms and long eye lenses. The top half was square instead of the usual round body of robots. It stood on 2 legs. It was much larger than Morris and much heavier.
Good evening,
it said calmly. Its voice was carried away by the night wind. Morris heard the noise of the traffic and the distant echoes of the adverts. The world outside was black and threatening.
Good evening, replied Morris.
He was trembling. What are you selling?
I would like to show you a fasrad.
What was a fasrad? He had never heard the word before.
A what?
He asked.
A fasrad,
the robot said again. It did not try and explain.
It will only take a moment.
The robot went past Morris into the house. It stopped in the living room.
Would you call your wife, please? I would like to show her the fasrad as well.
Sally, called Morris helplessly, come here. Sally ran excitedly into the living room and stopped when she saw the robot.
Are we buying something, Ed?
She asked, confused.
Good evening,
the robot said to her.
I am going to show you the fasrad. Please, can both of you sit down on the sofa?
They sat down. Sally was excited. Her eyes were bright.
What is a fasrad anyway? Asked Ed. What's happening? I don't want to buy anything.
What is your name?
The robot asked him. Ed Morris.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. and Mrs. Morris, said the robot. You are the first people in your area to see the fasrad. This is the first demonstration. Mr. Morris, where do you work?
He works on Jupiter, answered Sally, for Earth Metals Development Company.
You will definitely need a fasrad,
said the robot. It turned to Sally.
What do you do?
I'm an investigator.
A fasrad will be of no use to you in your work, but it will be helpful to you in your home.
The robot picked up a table in its powerful metal hands.
For example, sometimes a clumsy guest might damage a nice piece of furniture.
The robot broke the table into small pieces.
A fasrad is needed.
Morris watched with an open mouth. He felt as if he were in a dream, and there was nothing he could do to stop what was happening. The robot picked up a floor lamp with its hands.
Oh dear, said Sally. That's my best lamp.
The robot broke the lamp in half.
This could happen if there were a violent explosion, such as a nuclear bomb. There is nothing to be frightened of if you have a fasrad.
The robot bent over and pulled a tube from its waist. It made a hole 5 meters deep into the floor.
This is the beginning of a tunnel. A fasrad would save your life if there were an attack.
The word attack seemed to set off a new train of reactions in its metal brain.
Sometimes a criminal will attack a person at night,
the robot continued. Suddenly it turned round and slammed its fist into the wall. A section of the wall collapsed.
That eliminates the criminal.
The robot looked around the room. It saw the kitchen and began to move towards it.
Often you are too tired in the evenings to press the buttons on the oven.
It began pushing the control buttons. Food began to flow out of the oven. Soon there was food all over the kitchen floor.
Stop it! Screamed Sally. Get away from our kitchen!
The robot moved into the bathroom.
You may be too tired to run water for your shower.
It pushed the controls and water began to flood down.
Or you may want to go straight to bed.
It pulled the bed from next to the wall and threw it at a window. Sally moved backwards, frightened, as the robot came towards her.
Sometimes you are too tired to get undressed late at night.
Get out of here!
Morris screamed at the robot.
Sally! Run and get the police! This robot is crazy!
The fasrad is necessary in all modern homes,
the robot continued.
For example, if something breaks down, the fasrad repairs it instantly.
It took the air conditioning unit off the wall, tore the cables out and put it back.
Sometimes you might not want to go to work. By law, the Fasrad can take your place for 10 days.
Good God, said Morris as he finally understood. You are the Fasrad.
That is correct,
the robot agreed.
I am the Fasrad, fully automatic self-regulating android domestic. I am made for use at home and at work.
What? Asked Sally. You mean you're for sale? You're selling yourself?
I am demonstrating myself,
the Fasrad answered. It looked at Morris.
I am sure, Mr. Morris, that you would like to buy me. I am not too expensive, and I am fully guaranteed. A complete book of instructions is included. I cannot imagine that you will say no.
At midnight, Ed Morris sat on his bed with one shoe in his hand and the other shoe on his foot. He said nothing.
For goodness sake, Ed, take your shoe off and get into bed. You have to be up at 5:30,
complained Sally. Morris just sat there. The house was cold and silent. In the living room stood the Fasrad. It was still there, waiting for Morris to buy it.
What's the matter with you, Ed? Said Sally. It fixed all the things it broke. It was only demonstrating itself. That was a really clever idea to send it to sell itself directly to people.
Morris still said nothing.
It doesn't cost so much. Only 10,000 gold units. And if our friends buy one, we get a 5% commission. All we have to do is show it. We don't even have to sell it. It sells itself.
Morris took the shoe he was holding and put it back on his foot. He stood up.
What are you doing? Asked Sally. Where are you going?
Morris went into the living room and stood in front of the Fasrad. Can you hear me? He asked.
Of course,
answered the Fasrad.
Sometimes an emergency happens at night. A child might be ill. You have no children yet, but...
Shut up, said Morris. I don't want to hear you.
You asked me a question. The Fasrad is always ready to answer a question. You might want an immediate answer.
Morris picked up the book of instructions and scanned it. The Fasrad did thousands of things. It never broke down. It never made a mistake. He threw the book away.
I'm never going to buy you, he said to it. Never! Not in a million years.
Of course you'll buy me. This is an opportunity you can't miss. You can't say no, Mr. Morris.
Get out of here, said Morris quietly. Get out of my house and don't come back.
You can't tell me what to do until you've bought me. My instructions are to remain with you until you buy me.
What if I never buy you?
Asked Morris. But in his heart, he already knew the answer.
I'll remain with you. Eventually you'll buy me.
The robot picked up some dead roses and dropped them into its waste disposal unit.
You will begin to see how necessary I am. Eventually you will ask yourself how you lived without me.
Is there anything you can't do?
Oh, yes. But I can do anything you can do. And I can do it better.
The Fasrad took out a tube and started to clean the carpet. It painted the walls of the room and built new furniture. It installed new electric cables. It tore out all the equipment in the kitchen and put in more modern appliances. It looked at Morris's accounts and calculated his income tax for the next year. It sharpened all the pencils. It threw away some old soup that Sally had left in the refrigerator.
It was bad,
the robot told Ed.
Your wife is attractive, but she is not clever.
Morris went to the wardrobe and got his coat.
Where are you going?
The Fasrad asked.
To the office.
Morris looked into the bedroom. Sally was asleep. He turned and left the house. He walked in the cold night air to the commute field where his commuting ship was parked. 10 minutes later, Ed was on his way to Jupiter. When he stopped at Mars to refuel, the Fasrad boarded the ship.
Apparently you don't understand,
the Fasrad said.
My instructions are to demonstrate myself until you're satisfied. Further demonstration is necessary.
It went to the back of the ship to examine the jet engines. Morris pushed down the accelerator, and the ship flew off. Ahead of him was Jupiter.
Your engines aren't in good shape,
the Fasrad said.
As soon as you land, I will make the necessary repairs.
Your company won't like it if you do me favors, said Morris bitterly.
An invoice will be sent to you at the end of the month. If you send the 10,000 gold units in cash, you will get a 3% discount.
I always pay cash,
Morris muttered. He was carefully changing the route positions on the control board.
We've left the official traffic lane. What are you doing? There's a fine for this.
Morris ignored the robot. He accelerated and kept his eyes on the screen. In a few seconds, they had left all of the traffic behind. They were alone, flying away from Jupiter into deep space. The Fasrad looked at the controls.
We are moving towards Proxima. Should you call your wife?
Morris pushed the accelerator bar further down. The engines began to make strange noises. The Fasrad went to the back and looked at the engines again. It returned quickly.
Mr. Morris, this ship was not built to travel so fast. This speed is ruining the engines.
Forget the engines. We need this speed to get to Proxima.
The Fasrad was silent. It was listening to the rattling of the little commuting ship. Morris's foot remained on the accelerator.
It's too late to call your wife, said the Fasrad. But there are 3 emergency rockets in this ship. If you want, I can fire them. We might attract a passing police ship which can take us back to Earth. You'll have to pay 600 gold units, but it's our best chance.
Morris ignored the Fasrad and pushed the accelerator down as far as it would go. The ship roared. Instruments broke. The lights went out.
Mr. Morris,
the Fasrad said,
you must prepare for death. The statistical probability of engine explosion is 70%. I'll do what I can.
Morris looked at the screen again. In the distance was the Proxima galaxy.
Look! We're almost there! 20 planets!
Are the engines still okay? I can't tell from these controls.
I'll go and have a look,
the Fasrad said. It went to the back of the ship. Morris took out a cigarette and lit it. He waited a moment and then reached out and pushed a button on the control panel. The explosion tore the ship in half. He was thrown out of his seat and slammed into the control board. Metal and plastic fell down on him. He heard the noise of the emergency air pumps. He was stuck under the control board. One arm was broken and bent under him. He tried to move his legs, but he couldn't feel anything in his body. The remains of his ship were still flying through space towards Proxima. He was happy. He lay quietly in the debris of his ship, watching the fiery twin suns getting bigger on his screen. It was a beautiful sight. He had wanted to see it for a long time. There it was, coming closer every moment. In a couple of days, the ship would fly into the fiery suns and be destroyed. But he could enjoy the time now. there was nothing to disturb his happiness. He thought of Sally asleep at home. Would Sally have liked Proxima? Probably not. She would have wanted to go home. This was for him only. He felt peaceful and content. A noise from the debris of the ship. Something was moving. Morris could see a twisted shape reflected in the screen. He managed to turn his head. The Fasrad stood up. Most of its parts were broken. It fell down again with a crash. Then it came towards him and slowly stopped a few feet away. Lights were flashing on and off in its body. Pieces of tubing fell out.
"Good evening,"
its metallic voice said. Morris screamed. He tried to move his body, but he was completely trapped. He started to cry.
"I would like to show you a Fasrad,"
the metallic voice continued.
"Would you call your wife, please? I would like to show her a Fasrad as well."
"Get away!" screamed Morris. "Get away from me!"
"Good evening,"
the Fasrad continued, like a broken record.
"Good evening. Please sit down. What is your name? Thank you. You are the first people in your neighborhood to see the Fasrad. Where do you work?"
Its dead eye lens looked at him.
"Please sit down,"
it said again.
"This will take only a second. Only a second. This demonstration will take only a second. This demonstration..."